Good morning. This is Law 7 out of the 10 laws we have been studying on harvest, the glory and commitment of harvest. Law 7 says that we can do nothing for the last harvest. It's gone. Sometimes people get stuck in the past, and that attitude paralyzes people from going on, from letting God guide them to the new land and to find His promises. The word advice is forget past times. The reason is that our past could never be better than our future. His love and compassion are new every morning, every single day. We have new mercies. Let's remember what the people of Israel did in the desert. They complained and they said, "If we only had meat to eat." We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also, the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna. That is Numbers 11, 4 to 6. Of course that was not true. People idealize the past many times. You know, that happened to Israel. And they saw a fake picture, something far away from reality. The truth is that they were slaves, forced to work. They didn't get any food at no cost. That was not true. As they said, they had just gotten accustomed to be slaves. Some people feel comfortable in the middle of sin, in the middle of slavery. They don't want to be moved. And the reason is that when God calls us, He wants us to work, to conquer all those blessings He has prepared for us. But the enemy doesn't want people to be free. We need to make a decision. We serve God, which means we accept our mission here and work for the kingdom, or we continue being slaves forever. And forever means eternity also. Jesus said, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." They seem to be hard words, but that's true. And that's Luke 9:62. Sometimes we need to go on. Even if we don't see the harvest, the fruit, we should do as Moses. Moses saw him. He said that he saw Him who is invisible. What passed is past. Let's focus on our sowing from now on and wait for the harvest. That's law number 7. And law number 8 says, "My offering represents the kind of Father I have." Everything we get comes from the Father. That's the truth. And this means that I'll always have, because my provider gives His children, us, more abundantly than we all ask or imagine. And maybe you'll ask yourself, this is the question, what do we have to give? Well, today I'm going to mention 3 sowing instruments we all have to bless others. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a teacher of the word. You don't have to have a title from a seminar or university. All of us have these 3 sowing instruments. And the first one is our mouth. My mouth, yes. Whatever I say is a seed. Whatever you say is a seed. The Bible says that our tongue has the power of life and death. That's Proverbs Proverbs 18:21. I can transmit life to every single person I talk to. How? Maybe you'd ask, how? Well, using the Word of God, sharing our hope in Christ, talking about how great our God is, testifying of our salvation and new life in Christ. All of us have real stories to share with people of how God has been good to us, good to our children, good to our families, how we have been His hand working in our favor. And we have many, many things to be grateful for, that if sometimes just sharing what we have gone through is going to help other people that are going through that same path we already walked on. So that is the first instrument. The second one is my testimony. You know, everybody is looking at us. When we say we are Christians, they pay attention to the way we behave. They are looking at you. Everybody is looking at you, especially when people don't know where, you know, what to do. They are confused. They don't know exactly what is happening. And you have said you are a Christian. They're going to look at you and see the way you react, the way you behave, especially during these, you know, this moment of crisis. My testimony is everything I do daily, every single day. That is exactly what I am. Because being a Christian when we are at church is easy, but it's what I am always, every day, every minute, every second. And you know what the Bible says in Galatians 5:22-23? That a real Christian is, listen, peaceful, joyful, patient, kind, gentle, faithful, self-controlled, and full of love. If your testimony says you are that kind of person, that's a way of sowing. People are going to look at you and they're going to want what they have, because if they are not peaceful, if they are not joyful, if they are not patient, if they are not kind, they want to be exactly the way you are. So that's our testimony. Second Corinthians 3:2 says that we ourselves are letters written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. That's verse 2, 2 Corinthians 3:2. And verse 3 says, you show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. So that's the second instrument we all have. And number 3, it's my fruit. We started what I say first, and then what I do, and now what I give. My fruit is what I give. My fruit is everything I give to spread the kingdom. It has to do with all our resources. Jesus sent us to make disciples. That's Matthew. In Matthew 10:8, he says, he sent us to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, and that has to do with sin, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. That's our job. That's our work. And remember this story about Peter when he said to the lame man, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk. know what happened? The man walked. Because we have the power. And it is not for us. It's not to feel we are great or we are, you know, something. No, it's to glorify God. It's the power in Christ that allows us to do all those things and more than that. We have the power. Jesus said that we have been clothed, you know. He puts clothes on us like a dress, you know, from high to do greater things than the works Jesus do. Hallelujah. The words he did, the things he did, the words he did. You know, it was difficult for me to understand this. How can he do greater things than the things that Jesus did? Well, that's his promise. And whatever he promises, he's going to do. It's just he gives the word. It's our word to believe it, to be obedient, and to live on the word, to stand on the rock that is Christ. What a wonderful promise. Some people think they don't have any power, and it's because they are not connected to the source. But when you are connected to the source, to Jesus, you are standing on the rock, you believe his promises, you read the word, you pray, you look for him, his face, every single day, every hour in the day in communion, in connection with him, he gives us the power. We represent him here on earth. So, we have this clothes on us. How great is our God? Hallelujah. He's great. He's great. He's great. And he's never gonna change. Everything he promised, since the very first promise he did at the beginning, is gonna be the same. It's gonna work for them. It worked for them. It's gonna work for us. It's gonna work for the ones that come after us. Because his word is forever. It is true and it never changes. God does not change his mind. He's always the same. And that's what we want us to learn. And finally, I'm going to talk about this, and I know some people don't like it. Some people don't feel comfortable when we talk about this. But it has to do with giving our material resources also. It's not just what I say. It's not just what people see and the way I behave. But it's also what I give. So, I'm not talking about tithing, because maybe you're going to say, she's going to talk about tithing. No, I'm not talking about that. That is a must for a Christian. I don't want to teach Christian people about tithe. Well, if you have any questions, you can send your questions, email your pastor, and I'm sure Pastor Kathy is going to be able to answer, and she's going to be happy to answer all your questions. But this is a must. I don't care what other people say. It is a must for a Christian. I'm talking about offering. And I want to underline this. My tithe represents my obedience. But my offering represents my love for him. For the one that gave everything for us. My love for the one that made himself nothing by taking the form of a servant, being made in human likeness. That is Philippians 2:7. So, doesn't he deserve to be honored through our giving? Let's keep this in mind. We'll never give enough. Never in our lives, even if we lived 1,000 years, we cannot beat God giving. The reason is simple. We give from what he gives us, no matter how we try or you try, I can tell you this. I have experienced this in my life. The more you give, the more he gives you. The more he gives to you, the more, it doesn't matter what you give, will never beat God giving, never. God bless you all, brothers, sisters, and friends. Blessings. We're praying for you, our pastor, and many brothers and sisters from this community of faith are praying for you all. Bless you.